Accession number 33891.
Reel 13.
Gary Garrett's reel 13.
Oh, lucky one. So, we got the room organised and we had a decent facilities, and of course that was made a bit of jealousy for the other units. And the four commanders on the base at Tongren met once a month under the control of the colonel. We were all squadron leader rank, under command of the colonel, and discussed our problems, and they congratulated me. And of course I said, well, look, if there's anything that's coming up like a football match that Germany's playing in, it's on, please have words with the corporal so and so and arrange. So they, the Germans, and got there. So they made for a better unit anyway. And what else was odd? Well, I made friends with a Belgian colonel. This started by the fact that I discovered that in the middle of Liège there was a graveyard, and in there was a memorial and a few graves to British people. And I asked the British consul, who was a Belgian lawyer, what about the memorial service there? No. So I arranged for myself and a few of the living in people to meet and lay a wreath. But what I didn't know was that the Belgian army, or the Belgian ex-service people, with a general in charge, did the same for a Belgian unit at the far corner. So we arrived, and there was all these Belgians, and I did my duty over there, and the others were coming to attention, were going to march out, and they marched past us. So I brought my lot to attention and saluted as the colonel went by, and they were cried halt. He came over and he said, I have been coming here for how many years, I don't know. You are the first man who's had the decency to pay respects to your dead. Would you join us for the rest of the day? And I was then gave my car keys to the corporal and policeman he took home. And I went with these people around Liège to various points where there were memorials to resistance squads who had been shot, up to a site up top of the hill where lots of the resistant people were buried, and then down to the main square for the parade. And then once again I was allowed to stand behind a general on parade. The only thing, when it was all over, I had to point out to the general that the Union flag was upside down, but not died there. But during this I made friends with the colonel, and here's an amazing story. We became very friendly. We would swap dinners every so often, and he had a thing in his home, and while I'll explain what it was at the end, he was taken prisoner by the Germans, was held in a prisoner of war camp near Berlin, escaped, and he thought rather than try and move, he'd stay where he was, quite close to the prison, for two or three days, and he's more or less hid under a bush. And then he started walking, and he got onto a road, and the first thing he saw was a picture of himself with a reward, which he took off, got home eventually, back to Belgium, back to join the British forces, in fact. And now in his home, he's dead now, is a picture, there's this framed picture of a reward for his capture. Nice people. When this went on, we had fun on many things. The school was a dreadful thing. There was no wives club, though my wife organised the wives clubs, and we met there. The Four Nations organised a cocktail party every month. We all took turns to, but this was at Tongren, and the Germans in particular were always very, very efficient on this. Colonel would stand there and his wife and reception line. And I had three school teachers. Now they, like me, were on the strength at Rhine Island. That's where they'd been posted to, as British Forces Education Service. And if they'd been there, they would have been honorary officers and made use of the officer's mess. Here, there was no officer's mess. Not yet, anyway. So they had nothing. They could go nowhere. So I had words with the general in charge of the whole thing, and he agreed that he'd given them honorary ranks himself, so they could come to these functions. So the first one we went to was organised by the Germans, and my wife, three girls, all managed to get into the one car on the reception line. German colonel there. Hello, Colonel Hauptmann, Geisen. May I introduce my wife? And these are my three mistresses. And the Frau his wife. Anyway, we went. And the next time it was the Dutch, and I did the same. And the next morning I was sent for by the general. The general was in charge of the whole thing. And said, enough, enough. And then that started in dream of the three school teachers. one of the, it was a good friendly unit in a way, typical, I think, in NATO. Towards one time that the four officers in charge were together with the colonel, the German said, please would you have words with your airmen, looking at me, and tell them to stop stealing my soldiers' hats when they're going home. And then he looked at the Belgian, he said, you too, and the Belgian said, your hat? He said, what about my bike? You stole my bike when you went through. When do I get that back? Well, at the end of his tour of duty, the colonel was about to depart, and he got up to the stage in the reception room and gave a speech. And he said, now, as you know, Major so-and-so, the Belgian, lost his bike during the war. Now, you know, we German are very efficient. We have done some research, and we have found it. And two German airmen in resplendent uniform came on with the rastiest, tattiest, which I discovered later they dragged out of the local pond, and said, we have found it, you may have it. And he said, now, when I retreat from Belgium, some bastard stole my camera, and I want it back when I go. It was that sort of unit. Anyway, that went on for a couple of years. I was told by the wing commander, when I had my final interview with him, that he'd recommended me to be a wing commander, but I didn't think it was going to happen, as I already opted out at 49. And quite candidly, I didn't want any more. I'd done 30 years, I wanted a change. And I think my wife did too. You know, moving house every 2.5 years, the children had been to 8 or 9 different schools. So back we came home, and I had a year to serve, and I was posted to the work study unit at Air Ministry, where my main job really was reading the reports coming. Now, in the interim, between I'd done work study, all the command headquarters had put their into a pool, and they were called now control. And all the requests came through there, so reports were coming in. And the chap who was senior, wing commander, was the chap who had been my instructor at the school, so we knew each other fairly well. And he used to pass reports to me and say, you know, what do you make all this? And then one day he said, look, Bomber Command have come up, or Strike Command as it was, and have come up with a request for somebody to go to. Now, here I'm wrong. I've forgotten the name of the airfield, but it's in North Norfolk, where they were. Bomber Command and NATO are complaining about the time it takes them to get them airborne during a call out. Could you do something about it? Now, he knew nothing about this. So I went, and it was arrived, saw the CO, and he said, look, this is the problem. And we have a pilot who's grounded for some time because he's broken his arm. He will be your link, and if you spend, you're going to be here for a week. You work together. And at the end of the day before, on the Thursday, I got contact to the adjutant and said, please, would it be possible for the wing commander, the station commander, to have a command conference with 3 wing commanders so I can explain what I think could happen? And I got them together, and I explained exactly what I'd explained several years back to Bomber Command. It was exactly the same. They were not communicating. So Bomber Command withdrew its request for a team study, and the CO got a letter from the station commander saying what a extremely experienced officer I was. I should have asked for a copy of the letter as I was going out into Civvy Street, but it didn't really matter. So I'd already got myself a job. There was a unit, I forget its base, but they found jobs for ex-officers, and I'd already gone to a Canadian insurance company, amusing in a way, Confederation Life Insurance Company. Charlottetown, Prince Edward Island, where I was the home of the Confederation of the Canadian States. And I got a job. So on April the 2nd, 1971, the CO of the unit said, let's go and have a drink. It's your last day. So he, another officer and myself, went to the local pub where we had cheese pickles, and I had a glass of cider because I didn't like beer. We shook hands and I went home, and that was my end of the service career.